our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we will begin this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 255, stanzas 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverent meet and before our Maker kneeling. Let us worship at his feet. He is our own God and leads us, we the people of his care. With a shepherd's hand he feeds us as his flock in pastures fair. 255, we sing stanzas 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning at verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 20. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Matthew 11, beginning at verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far.
Let us try to ask the Lord for his help and indispensable blessing. All-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, thou whom dwellest in the heavens and whose eyes run to and fro throughout the entire world, who knoweth most perfectly what lives in the heart of each of us, who knows most perfectly how it was in the week that lies behind, how it is in our heart and how it is in our life. For nothing is hidden from thee. Lord, what is it then I wonder? In the light of who we have been in the week that is past, and of who we are from moment to moment, fallen sinners, rebellious people, children of Adam, dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, what a wonder that thou art coming to such ones who are not better nor worthier than so many others, was strange of thy word and thy house, and who do not know about the necessity of hard renewing grace. We are not better nor worthier than so many who are estranged of thy word, who were maybe raised under thy word, but have turned her back towards it, have left thee and thy house, and have chosen the pleasures of the world for a season. And Lord, isn't that all also the heart of each of us? Oh, we can be in church, we can never leave our spot empty, and yet be so indifferent, and yet having enough on outward religion, and yet agreeing with all the truth, but it goes outside of the heart. Lord, what have we then read about Capernaum and about other cities that were upbraided and warned that it be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and Sodom in the day of judgment than for those that be under the truth, that know the truth but have no desire to walk in the truth? And therefore, O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased to graciously look upon us, forgiving all that was amiss from this past week, in the many thoughts, the many words, the many actions, all the sins of omission and commission, all that we have not done but we should have done it, and all that we have done and should not have done it. But that thou be pleased to visit us this morning and this hour of preparation, that arrows may be sent in the heart of young and old, that the indifferent may be made longing and yearning, and that those that have enough on their outward religion may learn what it is to stand outside, and that those that deceive others because they are hypocrites may be uncovered by thee, and those that deceive themselves honestly thinking that they have grace may also be uncovered. For Lord, it comes so close almost in, is yet totally out. And to that end we beseech thee that thou wilt give honesty in the pulpit, in the benches, in our hearts, towards thee and thy word, that we be made honest before thee and one another, and may learn to know ourselves before thy holy majesty, to first of all consider our sins, and loathe and humble ourselves before thee, that we may become guilty, Lord, but have no rest till we may find it outside of self in thee, that a cry may be born, deliver thou my soul, O Lord, but that also that choice be born to from now on walk in thy statutes and ordinances, since there is a love that is shed in the heart, a love towards thee, a love towards thy house, love towards thy word and to thy commandments. Ah, Lord, if we are yet living for our own account, however that may be, in indifference or a deception, wilt thou then uncover, wilt thou open the eyes that we may be given to see, and that the heart be broken before thee. Lord, then we are not too young for it. Work that in the heart of our children. Work that in the heart of our young people. Work that in the heart of adults and elderly. Since but one thing is needful. Lord, remember also thy people. In this morning of preparatory, when the whispers from within and without are on their way already, and never leave the spot empty in church, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, or then we beseech thee that thou wilt give them, Lord, the token of thy favor, with all the burdens may come unto thee, to be delivered from their burdens, and that they may also be given to look outside of self unto him who said, come unto me. Lord, remember then thy church. Thou knowest the condition. Thou knowest the frame of heart, how it is. Oh, we beseech thee, give them, Lord, a little token of thy mercy, that for the first time, oh, by renewal, they may see something of that precious mediator, and that they be exercised in the knowledge of him outside of whom there is no life, outside of whom there is only death. Or that thou then wouldest work by thy Spirit powerfully, irresistibly. Lord, remember the sick, the needy, the afflicted, the ones that cannot be in thy house. Visit them in all the weaknesses, in body or mind, Lord, that does not stand thee in the way. For thou hast all power in heaven and on earth. Visit them.
and that also thy work may become evident among this flock. Lord, remember then each and every one of us, those that could have been here but would not, visit them too. And Lord, break the heart and uncover. Let a hunger be born and a thirst for thee, the living God. And it be cried out with my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne, humbled low. I make transgression for my folly, now I mourn. A godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. Help us then, Lord, in this morning hour, an hour of preparation. Give thy servant what he needs. Oh, be thou on his left and on his right, that he may receive thy word in his heart and mouth. And that it may be good in thy house, that we deal honestly with the souls entrusted this morning and with ourselves. And Lord, that it then may be that thou art a surprising God, visiting us in thy mercy. Look then upon us, Lord, and grant us thy salvation. There is much to ask, but be thou everywhere where thy word be proclaimed faithfully, everywhere in the world. All we ask, that thou then, O Lord, wouldest grant that new ones be born in Zion, and thy people be instructed. Satan knows he has but a very short time left, and he seeks to destroy. But wilt thou draw with cords of love and loving kindness? To thy name's honor we ask, in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gift, we will sing together from Psalter 102 all the stanzas. In thy wrath and of displeasure chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. They are all five stanzas of Psalter 102.
Next Sunday, beloved, we hope to have the table of the Lord in our midst. The holy sacrament of his supper that he has instituted and given, not just for everyone, not just for all church members, but for those that cannot keep their life in their own hand anymore. For those that have been uncovered and have seen who they are before a holy and righteous God, who with their burden of transgression have learned to flee unto him. Why? Because it is one thing to experience that burden, but it is another thing to have that burden removed from us. Whatever that people tries, that does not work. Humbled low, that is what is left. And may confession, storming the throne of grace, are there now those in our midst guilty before God that have seen it? If he should mark iniquity, who can stand? And that have no rest until they may find it outside of self. What then, a wonder if unto such a worked out soul he reveals himself. But then a wonder if they may be given to see outside of self unto him. Does that then immediately give liberty to attend the Lord's table? Or then there comes a longing and a desire. But what is yet needed? That in their unworthiness the Lord draws them, so that they may run after him. That they be hurt in the hearts. What we yet hope to consider with the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing. God's word, our text, can be found in our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 11 and thereof verse 28. And there we read God's word as follows. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there we write under this text a precious invitation into the true rest. Precious invitation to the true rest. We consider in the first place the address of this invitation. That labor and are heavy laden. Secondly, the contents of this invitation. Come unto me. And finally, the promise of this invitation, and I will give you rest. A precious invitation to the true rest. The address, the content, and the promise of this invitation. Portion that we have read, beloved, we see that the Lord Jesus has upbraided the cities in which he proclaimed his word, and in which he showed multiple miracles, wonders of his hand. And yet many, they turned away from him.
Woe unto thee, Chorazim and Bethsaida, Capernaum. And he is comparing them with Tyre and Sidon and with Sodom, and said, if in those cities the same miracles would have taken place and the same word would have been heard, they would have been here till the day of today. Sodom and Gomorrah would not have been turned upside down and destroyed. So what do we see here? That the Lord deals honestly with the souls entrusted unto them. He does, with all reverence, not smooth things over. He does not cover it up. He does not say, now, yeah, you are a faithful member of the church, and you are circumcised, and you bring faithfully the sacrifices, and you call upon my name. No. He uncovers them in their outward religion, how it lies, still lies in their heart, in enmity against him. And then he seeks the countenance of his Father. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things for the wise and the prudent in themselves. For those that think that they know it all and that they have it all. For those that know it so good, no, not for themselves, but for someone else. Hidden from them, but revealed unto the babes. What a wonder. Not revealed unto the mighty ones. Not revealed unto those that can all speak about it and what they have all experienced and what they know. No, revealed unto the babes. The babes in grace. Little ones. For the Lord is not a land of outer darkness in their life either. And we see, when we come to our text, how now that the Lord speaks with two words. He upbraids the unbelieving. He deals honestly with the unconverted. But he does not trample on those babes, and he does not trample upon the little ones, and he does not trample upon them and say, yeah, but you have not learned this yet, and you must first learn that. No, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who are those? And to whom this precious invitation comes? Who are the ones that labor and are heavy laden? Now, in general, each house has its burden, and each heart has its cross as well. Outwardly, due to sin, when we see the consequences of sin, we all are laden and heavy laden and burdened, because Job said it already, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of unrest. And the poet said that regarding the days of our life, there are 70, that is 70 years, and by reason of strength, 80 years, 80 years, and the best of it is altogether vanity, labor and sorrow, Psalm 90 says. And the entire creation groaneth, the apostle says. The world is bleeding out of multiple wounds. We see it. We live in the last of the last days. What a trouble. In personal lives, in family lives, in the entire world. And the many How do they deal with all those labors? How do they deal with all those burdens based on the consequences of sin? They say, let us make the best of it. Let us eat and drink and be happy. And if the burden becomes too heavy, then we step out of this life. Then we decide ourselves and we take that burden from us, not realizing that they then will be crushed under a burden forever that will be unbearable, the burden of God's wrath. We all understand, beloved, although that God's word comes to each and every one of us, although the Lord calls us seriously and well-meaningly, also in our outward troubles, to come unto Him and to lay it all before Him, to ask that He will sanctify those burdens, to beseech Him that He will not leave nor forsake, but do what is pleasing unto Him to His honor. But we all feel that this is not in the first place what is meant in the text. What is then meant when the Lord Jesus speaks about them that are heavy laden and burdened? Well, that He takes a simple picture out of daily life in the East. And our young people and our children, they do understand, in those crowded cities with those small roads and those paths, even if there would be something as means of transportation as we have that nowadays, that would then be entirely impossible to deliver a load, to deliver a burden at his destination. No, in the days of the Bible, they had people who made their job of being a professional burden bearer, one upon whom a burden was laid to carry it from the one place to the other through those narrow streets of Jerusalem. And those professional burden bearers, they could bear that burden, quite a heavy load, and they could bear it for quite a distance. Now that is what the Lord Jesus is referring to. That professional bearer of a burden upon whose neck and shoulders it was laid, the strongest parts of the body. And then Jesus is comparing that with the burden, as He always speaks about, the burden of the Pharisees and the scribes. What a difficult and heavy burden did they lay upon the people. Not only the commandments and the statutes that the Lord had given, but also 613 other different laws and rules, of which the Bible says rule upon rule and line upon line. What has that become? A heavy burden for the people in Israel. And then the Lord Jesus even says they lay a burden upon them that they do not even touch with their own finger. So they are uncovered as a people that know it for others, but does not even live according to it themselves. But all those burdens that was laid upon the people by the Pharisees and the scribes would never give them rest, because the one thing was not kept, and then the other thing was laid upon them already. And Christ sees that all, and He uncovers it as deception, as deceiving for eternity, because they could never get rid of those burdens. And now then the Lord is pointing unto the true rest that can be received not by the works of the law, or as the apostle would say ages later, as that the apostle would say, that we are justified not by the works of the law, but by grace and by faith in Christ alone, and then we come to the deepest core of the text. Heavy laden, burdened, labor, wrestle, labor that is not a passive thing. No, that is something that is an experience. Who are they that labor and are heavy laden? Our annotations, our marginal notes, they point here rightly so to a people upon whom the Lord has given that burden of their transgression, whose eyes have been opened, who have been uncovered, and who have been made honest before the Lord and themselves. Now that's why we sang Psalter 102, based on Psalm 38, one of the penitential psalms of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So when our text speaks about those that labor and are heavy laden, pointing to that simple picture that everybody could understand there in Jerusalem and Capernaum, then that is not just a superficial text, but then it points you deep down to those in whose heart the Holy Spirit has worked hard, renewing grace. Who have seen it by uncovering grace that the Lord is holy and righteous. And how can I ever be reconciled to him? Because I am unholy and unrighteous. That is a people for whom it becomes a wonder that they are yet in the time of grace in the land of the living. That is a people this morning, as the form of the Lord's Supper says, that they loathe and humble themselves. They are heavy laden, overborne. They feel that burden. Ah, there are many people, they feel a burden for daily life, and that can be heavy. Let us not underestimate that. Let us not push that aside. There can be heavy burdens in the life of people they do not even speak about with others, but they wrestle with that before the countenance of the Lord. But is there now a people here in Cortland that by that discovering work of God's Spirit feels the burden of their sin? And children, you know the Pilgrim's Progress, don't you? From John Bunyan. If you don't ask your father and mother whether they have it, and if they don't have it, it's kind of high time that you get one. Because there you see so touchingly how now that man, his name is Christian. Nah, he was not born as a Christian, eh? He was born as a sinner. But how there in that city of destruction, his eyes were opened and his heart was broken. He felt that burden and he could not stay in the world, in the life outside of grace, but he had to flee out. And that man could not even get rid of his burden himself. That is now the difference with formalist and hypocrisy and with that other man that joined him. What, do you have a heavy burden? He did not have one. Oh yeah, he wanted to wait to heaven. And he wanted also the pleasures and the advantages and the blessings of heaven, of the life of grace. Many are just like a Balaam. They want to die with God's children but not to live with them. But this man, Christian, God's child, they walk with a burden over the world. With my burden of transgression. And what makes that burden so heavy? That I willingly and voluntarily have taken that burden upon me by my deep fall in Adam. that I now voluntarily and willingly have chosen that burden of sin and the wrath of God above that life in dependency on the Lord. And that becomes a heavy burden. That is not the people this morning that says, but yeah, I am baptized. And I am a member of the NRC, of a denomination where the truth yet is. And I have done confession, and I intend and I plan, as I used to be maybe, to attend the Lord's Supper. Yeah, but what about that burden? Has that ever, by the work of God's Spirit, been laid upon you? And have you ever been given to see, and it is my own fault, what the burdens do God's children have? There is also the burden of the assault and the attacks from the prince of darkness. Ah, when the preparatory service was announced already, when you read it or heard it for the first time, there is maybe a people, then the devil, he jumped right on them. And he said, but with the burden that you have, you don't even need to think about the Lord's table. That is for God's people who do not have a burden. But that is not for you. The assaults and the attacks. And when that people is looking inside of their own heart, that they notice another burden, that is the burden of their unbelief. That is the burden of that there is still so much of the world in my heart and life. That is the burden that I cannot bring myself anywhere. That I cannot even come one step closer in my own strength. There is a people that say that labor, hard labor, not an easy job. That are heavy laden, the text says. You can imagine that, children. A man walking through the streets of Capernaum or Jerusalem, such a professional bearer of burden, someone laid that burden on his shoulders and back and attached it to him. And that man is maybe, he started to walk to his destination full of courage. He would bring his burden there. But the further he came, that's how he goes. The heavier that burden seemed to be, heavy laden, the more bowing he had to go forward. That is now that precious picture, what the Lord gives of that people. And you know that professional bearer of burden, when he came to his destination, could not take away that burden from himself that had to be taken. Now there you have the lesson the Lord teaches his people. I brought that burden of sin and iniquity upon myself. I brought that burden of God's wrath and the curse of the law upon myself. But whatever I try, I cannot deliver myself from that burden. Heavy laden, overborne, humbled, low. Well, there can have been a time when they felt a burden and they said, Lord, have a little patience with me and I will bring that burden at thy feet. The further they came and the more they tried, the heavier that burden became. And the deeper they had to bow, the more impossible it became to be delivered from that burden. Loathing and humbling myself, oh Lord, it is my fault. That is what is meant in the text. Heavy, light, heavy is my tribulation. As long as we think that we are better or worthier, no, heavy, the poet says. Heavy laden, the Lord Jesus says. Otherwise, there is no room for Him in our life. If we still have anything in ourselves, there is no room for Him in our life. As long as we still can hold it out in the workhouse, as long as we are still wrestling to remove that burden from our own heart and soul, the Lord holds Himself so still. And now to learn that, oh Lord, I am worked out. And that burden, if that not be taken, then it will crush me forever by my own faults. There you have it. Heavy laden. Labor. The people struggling at the throne of grace. The people that cannot help themselves anymore. But that needs to be helped. Are they now here in Cortland this morning? Maybe the Lord has brought you before at the table. It's not an automatic case, eh? And maybe you have never been given the liberty to attend. But it says, and here lies my heart explained. Labor. Oh, what a struggle in my life. I desire because of that love to please the Lord, but it doesn't work. The burden seems to become heavier and heavier. And no wonder, because I can only sin against a holy, righteous, and good-doing God. Heavy is my tribulation. How can I ever be reconciled to Him? There was a woman in the Bible. She had an issue of blood, serious disease. She was doomed to die. What a burden she had to carry. She had to die, and she could not die. And she tried to get rid of it. She has gone to all kinds of doctors, and they all had to give up. And what is most, she had to give up herself too. And then the wonder. She heard the one name proclaimed, not as a wonder doctor, no, but one upon whom the Lord has laid help. And as she came with her burden unto Him, stooping down, bowing down, heavy laden, touching the hem of His garments. And there is a woman of Canaan. She was another one. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. And they have tried everything, and everything failed, heavy laden, overborne. And then she heard about the Lord Jesus. And as she comes with a burden, my daughter, you know what the Lord showed her? It's not your daughter as much, it's you. Help me, Lord. Are there those? Father of a lunatic boy. He came with the burden. Oh, my son, my boy. And He brought the burden to God's people, to the disciples. Maybe you do that too. An encouragement of this child of God, an encouragement of that elder, and maybe that you may hear that you also have a right to attend the Lord's table, and you are satisfied. Now that father of the lunatic boy had to learn that even God's people cannot help him. And then he came at the feet of the Lord Jesus with such a burden, Lord, help me. What is then the wonder? That now may be true in your life. What does the Lord then do? Does He say, no problem, it's all okay, it's all forgiven? No. He's teaching them what is necessary. We see that secondly, the content of that invitation, that precious invitation that he gives, come unto me. In the original language, the Greek, we literally read the word hither, here you have to be. It is as if the Lord Jesus says to those that labor and are heavy laden with the burden of the law and rule upon rule and line upon line, not there, not by the Pharisees, not by the laws and the commandments that man has made.
I'm not saying anything against the tradition, right? No. And I'm not saying anything against that everything be done decently and in order. And there need to be guidance and there need to be rules outwardly. But not like the Pharisees who made the foundation of it for salvation. That's not how the church works. That's not how the Lord works. Now there you can find salvation. Not by the burden of the extra laws and commandments, but here, come unto me, not them, but me. Yeah, that is a call, we said that already, that comes outwardly, and to all those, well-meaningly and seriously, who are under God's word, to the one maybe this morning, that sits here full of indifference, and that says, I'm sitting here out of custom. I'm sitting here because my father and my mother wants me to. And maybe someone else sitting here deceiving someone else by pretending he is someone who he is not. And someone else who is deceiving himself, thinking seriously and genuinely that he also has grace and never search themselves out before God's countenance, thinking that they also have grace because they have once shed a tear and they have received a text and that salt had touched their hearts. And they took that as if they were a child of God, deceiving themselves, the Lord Jesus said. Come unto me. Because everything outside of me will not save you, but condemn you. Outwardly it comes to each of us. Preaching as the apostles in Acts 4, that there is under heaven given no other name by whom we must and can be saved. Oh, that we then, unconverted ones who bow our knees and say, Ach Lord, convert me, that we may bow before him, O Lord, wilt thou deal honestly with me? And bring me in the place where I cannot be. I do not feel that burden of my sin. I've never experienced the burden of the curse of thy law and the wrath of God that I deserved. And yet my sins reach unto heaven. Uncover me and open my eyes. Outwardly, that call comes to each of us, all ye ends of the world. We read by the prophet, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world. You know, those people have no ears. Those people, they have no spiritual ears. Because then we need to break with our sin. And we do not want that. Yeah, the Lord makes himself free in our text from each and every one of us. We can never go home this morning and say, there was not a word for me. We cannot go home. And we can, when we one day will stand before the Lord
We cannot say, Lord, thou hast not spoken unto me seriously and well-meaningly. Because the Lord Jesus does not say in our text, come unto me all those that experience the burden, but those that are burdened and heavy laden. I had them, we need that work of God's Spirit to open our eyes, otherwise we will never come. But the call comes to each and every one of us. That woman with the issue of blood comes. Oh, how often did she hear already about the Lord Jesus? But she never came until when she was worked out. And her ears were opened for his name. And that woman of Canaan, how often did she hear already what Jesus of Nazareth was able to do? But she never came. Why? Because there was no faith in her heart. She sought it elsewhere until she was worked out. And when she then heard about his name, the Lord granted a crumb of faith in her heart, and then she came, not without burden, not bringing along what she all has done already, but only heavy laden, overborne. There is that murderer on the cross. How often did he hear the Lord Jesus speak? How often did he notice his wonders? How often did he notice that he healed inwardly and outwardly? But he never came with his burden until he had to die, and he could not die. Until that man was given to experience it as a done case with me. Lord, remember me. No. It was not about heaven. We justly was made honest knowledge of self. Dost thou not fear God, knowledge of God? And with his heavy burden, and I unto Christ, he has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me in humility as an unworthy one. Lord, remember me. And we can mention many more. That they come as the heart panteth after the water brooks, thus my soul thirsteth for the living God. Come unto whom? Unto me, Christ says. Oh, then his name becomes so precious. Unto me, who was appointed by his Father, and to him who in eternal love offered himself, unto me, he who came in the fullness of the time with a burden so heavy that if one little drop of it in this morning would be laid upon us, we would succumb and perish forever. But oh, how may our fathers now speak so preciously based on God's word, that he for such a one, whereas otherwise they would have perished everlastingly, suffered those innumerable reproaches and that wrath, that burden of the wrath of God. There in Gethsemane, when he received that burden, take this burden, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. In Gethsemane, where he was innocently condemned, on Calvary's hill, where he was crucified. Why? Because he had no other choice? No, because he was so willing. If ye seek me, let these go their way. And of where he could say, it is finished. Come unto me. There lies an urge in those words. My uncomforted friend, an urge. There's not left over unto man, as if there is an Armenian gift in man that he can do it whenever he wants. No, there lies an urge. Yeah, but you say, I cannot come. Well, my beloved, then I hope that is grief in your heart and that is experience in your soul, and that it is not just a pious talk. Because I know not just like you that we cannot. But you forget the word. We cannot anymore. And if that becomes guilt, then you live with that. With the bride in the Song of Solomon on your knees, and you say, Lord, draw me. And I will run after thee. And he will work that work of faith, then there is no other option anymore. If I perish, I perish. Then they flee unto him. I flee unto thee to hide me. So that coming unto him is not the result of man's doing, but that is a result of free grace. He draws, he brings, and yet he calls. Do you understand that? Maybe you say, no, I don't understand it. Good. Because the work of grace cannot be understood anyways. That's how the Lord works, through the impossibilities. Otherwise it will never become a wonder. Come unto me. Oh, there those two people from Emmaus go, leaving Jerusalem. What a burden they had to carry. And we had hoped. And we have received so much from him. And we have thought. There were times it was so sure in my heart. But now. All that burden. You know what they had to learn? That with all the Lord had given them, it had to become Good Friday and Easter in their life. Come unto me. What things, Jesus says. And then they pour out their hearts. Come unto me. What a wonder. If then the Lord speaks to the heart. Yeah, then it can be a text that you have heard already thousands of times. But I tell you, then you will hear the text for the first time. As it really is. And then that text becomes so precious. Come unto me, because there is no other way anymore. And if I then perish, I perish. Come unto me. That is the drawing love. Then they may hear the name. And how do they then come? With full hands and saying, Lord, here is my burden? No. With empty hands. Honest. Lord, that burden I've laid on my own. And it becomes heavier and heavier, and I cannot go forward, and I cannot go backwards either. And now besides thee, there lies no hope in my heart. I cannot take it from me anymore, but wilt thou be pleased. For my folly, my foolishness, now I mourn. And there they lay with the burden, like a Christian who came there. Entering in through the straight gate on the narrow way. And the burden he did not take away himself. No. The gatekeeper didn't do it either. No. God's servants cannot do it. No. God's children cannot do it. No. Only when the Lord gives them an eye unto him hanging on the cross in his humility, in his humiliation, in his suffering for such ones. Do we understand it? Helpless, hopeless. Lord, help me ere I die. Have mercy on me. As that publican in the temple smiting his breast, Lord, there it is. Weak and wounded, I implore the Lord to me. I become so personal. Thy mercy show. No help in others, but I seek it in thee alone. What a blessed people. Come unto me. No, the Lord Jesus doesn't say, come to the Lord's Supper, all ye that labor. None. come unto me. And when they may come unto him, he will bring them at the stable. Why? Because then he does not only take away what they need to miss, the burden, but then he also gives and grants what they cannot miss, to rest in him. Shall we sing first? 115. Stanzas 2 and 3. O Lord my God, overwhelmed in deep affliction, and thou wilt command thy servants consolation. 2 and 3 of 115.
Precious invitation. You've seen the necessity, burden, labor, heavy laden. That is the address. We've seen the way. Come unto me. That was the contents of that invitation. And now the fruit that lies in the promise. And I will give thee rest. And beloved, what goes out of his lips is true. We don't need to doubt about that. What he threatens, he does. What he promises, he fulfills. And he doesn't say, I might give you rest. Depends on how you come. He says, I will give you rest. You now may come unto him with your burdens of transgressions.
and let your worthiness to be cast away. If you made us come, we deserved it. But he has done nothing amiss. And I will give you rest. What a wonder. That rest includes also peace. Rest that was there in paradise. Rest in God. Adam and Eve had that. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Peace with the earth and creation. But that has gone away. We have become enemies of God. Enemies of one another. We have become haters of God and our neighbor. There is no rest in life's man. That's why we seek it here and we seek it there. And the one is so busy with the things of time and sense, and another one with the business, and a third one with money, and a fourth one with religion. But nowhere we can find the rest that remains for the people of the Lord. What is that needed? I will. So he is the only one who can give rest. Because he has obtained it on Calvary's hill. Why? Well, that's his name. Until Shiloh comes. Jacob said that already on his deathbed. Selah, Shiloh. That is the same word. Rest. He is the one who obtained rest. How did he do that? Well, he entered into unrest in this world. He had to say, the foxes have holes and the fowls of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not to lay his head upon. For him there was no rest when he hung on the cross. When man stood up against him, if thou be the Christ, come down. The Father left and forsook him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? No rest for him. He entered there in those 3 hours, the eternal unrest on Calvary's hill of outside darkness, outer darkness. But there he obtained a rest for his people. And I will give you rest. That means rest and peace in your soul. Oh, the Lord has never sent a sinner away that made us come with the burden of transgression. He has never let them go without peace. That publican there in the back of the temple, be merciful to me. Oh, what a burden. And that man left justified. Receiving rest. What is that rest? Does that mean now my sins have been forgiven and now I can continue? And now Jesus died for me and so now I can go on. And now I can, as an automedical case, attend the Lord's Supper because no. And I will give thee rest. You know what the word for rest means in Greek? It means a pause. Beautiful word. So what does now the Lord do? He gives them at times a pause from all the burdens, from all the labors, from all the struggles, from all the assaults. He gives them a pause, a moment, just like the disciples, when he said to them, come here and rest a little. There's moments for the soul, and there is word. When they hear the heart explained. When they hear the name of Christ proclaimed. Those moments in the inner room when they lay the burden before him. And when he speaks comfortably to their heart. And they may believe that he knows about them. When they be given to look outside of self and to the cross of Christ. Rest, a pause. Then the whispers from within have to be silent. And when the table of the Lord is administered, and the Lord brings those ones at his table, and for a moment they may receive a pause, and taste of the rest that lies in him. And I will give you rest. A calm, it means also a calm. Then the Lord makes all the waves and the billows that are roaring, he makes them like those waves on the sea, be still, that they may taste how good he wants to be for such a one. And I will, unexpectedly, in the way of the wonder, I will give thee, that they may find rest against sin. And their joys may be renewed. From now on, the form for the Lord's Supper says, walk in that newness, ah, pass, because our sugar can be gone again. The rest of pass from sin, from the fear of death, and a looking up in the longing for the rest that he has laid away for the people of the Lord, an eternal rest that remains there, and of which they may taste at his table a foretaste. And I will give you rest, and what they may receive at moments here in the beginning makes them longing for more. And that makes them yearning for the time that what they received here in the beginning, they may receive forever in the place where no unrest is anymore, where no devil can threaten them and assault them, where no sin can come in, where the burdens will not come in, but where they may behold this countenance fair of bliss beyond compare. I will give you rest. Not I can give, that's true as well. He's omnipotent. Not I want to give you rest, that's true as well. He's so willing. That's why he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, but I will give you rest. Because he is the only Savior. And what he says is yea and amen. O my beloved, that we then thus may enter in this week of preparation. And we seek his countenance, that he will apply it. And when we are not strange of it, that it may be renewed. That we may learn, draw, come unto him. With all my labors, and with all my burdens, and to experience the way of the wonder, and I will, then he becomes all. And that wonder becomes so great. And then he will receive at moments the honor. And that to his glory. Amen. Almighty Lord, may that be applied to each and every one of us. We acknowledge thee for thy word, for thy help. Forgive our sins. Go with us. Furtherance of this day and this week of preparation. Ah, Lord, may something be experienced of the text, but also of that wonder of thy grace and rest, we ask. For Christ's sake alone. Amen. 151, stanza 5. In God the Lord I rest, his word of grace I praise. And what follows, and on behalf of the consistory, there is the first wedding announcement of Colin van Beek and Heidi van Pelt on August 2nd. If there are any lawful objections, they must be brought to the attention of the consistory. And also the first wedding announcement of Joel Brouwer and Adeline Melwijk, also on August 2nd. If there are any lawful objections, they must be brought to the attention of the consistory. This all the Lord willing. 151, stanza 5.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.